Welcome. You are listening to Aftersight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Thank you for joining us for Hobby Radio, read by Keith, amateur radio operator W0NX, featuring the August 2024 The Spectrum Monitor. We'll begin by finishing Radio 101 by Ken Reitz, KS4ZR, streaming CBC Radio, FTA satellite changes, and a field day report. I fed the power into the horizontal loop antenna. I ended up working only a little over an hour on Saturday, and in the time that I had available, I was looking specifically for distant stations. How far away my 5 watts could be heard in the din of some tens of thousands of operators doing the same thing. The first station I worked was KP4EO, Puerto Rico, at some 1,500 miles. That was encouraging. By the time my hour was up, I worked a total of 17 stations, including 15 states, one territory, and one DX. I was particularly interested in contacting Western states, as they had been missing from the previous several field days because of terrible propagation. Not this year. Stations were coming in from everywhere. I worked Illinois, Kansas, Missouri, Utah, South Florida, Louisiana, North Dakota, Colorado, Wyoming, California, Wisconsin, Washington State, Texas, and New Mexico. The furthest station worked was PY2EX, Brazil, at 4,700 miles. The Western Washington station was 2,300 miles away. This might have been one of those field days when it would have been possible to earn worked all states in 24 hours, even operating QRP. A sign confirming the great propagation that prevailed over 2024 field day. I heard 3 Hawaiian stations, but my 5 watts couldn't compete with all the hams trying to work the KH6s. I worked 6 stations on 20 meters and 11 stations on 15 meters. There was some action early on Saturday afternoon on 10 meters, but it faded out quickly at this location. With 20 meters, the most crowded, I focused on 15 meters, where there was room to spread out, and not nearly as many stations in competition. This exercise proved once again that, running low power off the grid, it was possible to exchange the necessary information for a good contact under very crowded conditions. And now quick looks. Stampful Wave Block Preselector, ICOM ICR-15 Scanner, AOR ARDV-10 2024 version, by George Viesola. Many radio enthusiasts nowadays are working with very sophisticated gear and have dispensed with the need for a dedicated hardware preselector. Indeed, you might argue that a preselector is not perhaps as essential today as it used to be. Many hardware radios and software-defined radios, SDRs, today offer seamless, professional HF engineering with excellent strong signal handling, noise suppression, and a host of other advanced features. The Stamful Stressless HF Receiver, which we tested here before, TSM April 2024, is a good example of this. In addition to the easier availability of modern technology, there are now just fewer stations to listen to throughout the contemporary HF bands when compared to the golden age of shortwave radio. Despite this, preselectors are still in use, popular and widely available. My first one was the Low PR150, which came in a rack with the HF150 receiver and SP150 speaker. I achieved excellent DX using this combination. DXers are still operating preselectors, such as the Reuter RAP1D, PALSTAR MW550P, RF Systems P3, various MFJ models, e.g. 1040B, Heroes Technology, SCR CAT 2020, ELAD QSF 06, cross-country wireless HF preselector, and Mizuho SX3, to name but a few. And there are countless designs for homebrew models. For me, a decent preselector remains a Shack essential. It is one of those items I find worthwhile to work with, much like my propagation clock, MFJ, or low-noise PSU, SSE. Ironically, with a new breed of SDRs, you can now immediately appreciate the switching in of a preselector and its effect on reception quality by a simple observation of the waterfall display. Enter the Stampful Wave Block. Heinz Stampful, HB9KOC, is well known in the European radio scene for his modern high-end kits and receivers, often with an educational bent and aimed at a younger audience, and for the accessories and antennas he manufactures. Among the latter are long-wave converters, UC1S, preselectors, Wave Star, Wave Block, standing wave barriers, MWS1, and X1 antenna. Heinz's new preselector looks very much like it could be a successor of an earlier model, the smaller WaveStar. The WaveStar is still being offered by Fenu Radio and Funk Amateur in Germany. You may watch an instructional video of it on Fernando Duarte's blog, where it is put through its paces in conjunction with an ELAD FDM-S2. The URL is tinyurl.com/39JCA4EH. The new WaveBlock preselector model is sold ready assembled and tested. It comes with a DC 9 to 16 volts power cable. This is a large and beautifully built device in dark blue aluminum, and yet it is lightweight, much like the Stressless, alongside which many users might use the WaveBlock. In fact, these two devices look like cousins, with a strong family likeness. However, the WaveBlock will work with any HF receiver, whether hardware or SDR, and it can also be used with transceivers. It has a PTT input, which the WaveStar did not offer. During my tests, I used it with a brand new SDR Play RSP-DX-R2 software-defined receiver, the AOR AR7030 Legacy Radio, and my Stampful Stressless, which is now my new top dog for HF performance. Technical details and operation. Heinz's WaveBlock covers 0 to 30 MHz. Like with the Stressless, Heinz was responsible for hardware development, whereas the filters and software were implemented by Ernst Kirschbaum, DL2 EBV. The published measurements of the preselector relate to selectivity, return current suppression, and variable standing wave ratio, VSWR, in bypass mode. They were undertaken by Hans Zod, HB9CBU, using a Rode and Schwartz ZNL-E3. It appears, then, that we have here a serious device, built by dedicated HF engineers for equally dedicated radio amateur DXers and general listeners. Physically, the WaveBlock measures 310 by 190 by 120 millimeters length, depth, height. The device has a large, industry-standard TFT display of 480 by 272 pixels, measuring 100 by 60 millimeters. This proved to be very responsive, and it offers 8 frequency ranges, 0 to 1.7, 1.7 to 2.5, 2.5 to 3.8, 3.8 to 6, 6 to 9, 9 to 13, 13 to 20, and 20 to 30 megahertz. Naturally, there is also a bypass. These choices can be toggled easily and work with a satisfying click, audible from within the preselector. Does it work well? Yes, it did for me. The evidence was there. I was able to make some quick and easy performance comparisons of the reception quality by just looking at the waterfall diagram displayed in the software of my SDR Play RSP-DX-R2. This proved both revealing and useful. Any improvements in reception quality can be quite small, too small perhaps to be heard with the naked ear. But they were significant enough to be seen on the screen of SDR Sharp, SDR Uno, or other relevant SDR software. I conclude, therefore, that the WaveBlock can lift performance noticeably. It is versatile and of high quality, and it represents an all-round solid investment in your shack. ICOM ICR-15 Analog Scanner. In April 2024, the new ICOM ICR-15 receiver finally arrived in Europe. This new portable does not come too long after the flagship ICOM ICR-30, and it offers a simpler, more immediate operating environment for the scanner user. In its pre-sales advertising, ICOM UK stressed that the ICR-15 has two VFOs and can simultaneously receive two signals, dual watch, on VHF and VHF, UHF and UHF, and VHF and UHF. The color LCD screen, USB-C port, charging, not power delivery, Bluetooth, a recording function, and a micro SD card slot were also foregrounded by the main retailers who offered the ICR-15 just in time to coincide with the major global radio shows at Dayton and Friedrichshafen. I have owned several ICOM scanners, including the ICR-30 and ICR-20. The ICR-20 has always been my firm favorite on account of its tactile keys, ease of use, and remote monitoring and recording functionalities. For this test of the ICR-15, I used some portable antennas and a fixed outdoor disc cone, the ScanKing 25 to 1300 MHz. You might wish to treat yourself to the ICOM IH-8000 Super Wideband Omnidirectional Aerial to stay on brand, as it were. My location overlooks a valley and is close to the Warton BAE airfield in the UK, call sign EGNO. For VHF and airband reception, I also utilize the brilliant and now rare Diamond RHS-1000 component aerial directly mounted on the ICR-15. Coverage and modes. What one notices first of all is that the ICOM ICR-15 is not a wideband receiver. The scanner covers the various international FM broadcast bands, EU 76 to 108 MHz, USA 88 to 108 MHz, and otherwise receives communications from just 108 to 500 MHz. By comparison, the Whistler TRX-1 is digital and receives 25 to 1300 MHz, albeit with gaps. The ICR-30 operates from 0.1 to 3,304.999 MHz, and the ICR-20 still covers between 0.15 to 3,304.999 MHz. The ICR-15 does, therefore, not cover the HF bands. Neither is this a digital scanner. It receives analog radio in FM, FMN, WFM, AM, and AMN. The color screen is okay, but not large, and the numbers are well readable in all lighting conditions, but smaller than on the ICR-20 and ICR-30 models. To be clear, this handheld does not receive signals from DMR, NXDN, Tetra, and so on. There aren't any decoders for digimodes built into this radio, or available through any extra paid-for service or subscription. The ICR15 does not have a keyboard, and the screen is not a touch screen. The USB cable does not double up as a power supply. Thus, with this scanner, ICOM appears to have swung the pendulum back in favor of smaller, easier-to-use receivers. In my opinion, and that of many other scannerists I've spoken to, the ICR30 was getting too complicated for all but professional and demanding private users. The ICR15 reverses this trend, which may well be good news for scanner users whose interests lie in a few simply defined frequency areas. Setup, operation, and watch receive. Setup is indeed simplicity itself. Just pop in the battery and a micro SD card, not included, and away you go. In operation on the civil airband, the ICOM ICR15 proved itself very sensitive, both with its own supplied small flexible antenna and with several small set-top alternatives. In fact, the ICR15 proved to be significantly more sensitive than other handheld hardware scanners I have tried. If you do use an antenna other than the one supplied, which you should, make sure you have a suitable adapter to hand, SMA male to BNC female. When I connected the ICR15 to my discone, the strength of the signals made it necessary to switch in the onboard attenuator to at least level 2 of 4 to avoid overload. A nice result. The sound from the built-in speaker is sufficiently clear. If you do suffer from hearing loss or want a fuller sound, consider connecting an external speaker. Mine was the nifty Sony XRS SB12. In practice, transmissions from my local ATIS Aeronautical Automated Voice Services, Manchester 121.975 and 128.175 MHz, Blackpool 127.2 MHz, and Wharton ATIS 121.725 MHz, can be a real challenge for scanners, even at my exposed location. Here, the ICR15 excelled and resolved them crystal clear, and with a near full-on signal, even on the attenuator 2 setting. Another example was Manchester Dell Ground, which I actually heard at my location for the first time on the local frequency, 121.7 MHz. I often use my scanners as one-frequency watch-and-record devices, leaving them on all day to keep an eye on a specific service. Most of you will know that I am an avid weather monitor, and I like to have updated information at my fingertips, on my smartphone and radio. For me, one of the main reasons for running a scanner is the facility to remote record, i.e., with a setting where the radio records transmissions only when they occur. For instance, a frequency I watch daily is Holyhead Coast Guard from our Regional Maritime Rescue Coordination Center, MRCC, 160.775 MHz. But you can, of course, monitor any other intermittent transmission, such as your favorite military airband or emergency comms channel. The ICR20, although being able to do this, had always been a little cumbersome in that way, and many a time I did not press the right buttons in sequence. The ICR15, I am glad to say, is easy to use in this way, thanks to a menu system. Put in your micro SD card, format it, and make the remote watch facility your default. Menu, record, recorder set, receive record condition, squelch auto. Then press the record key for 1 second, and you are ready to come home to the day's action neatly compressed. Each segment of captured speech is recorded as a separate voice player file on the ICR15. On playback, recordings are rendered back as a whole and in successive order, unless you hit pause. using the Boutel ARC R15 software and resolving data signals. The ICOM ICR15 can be controlled with the newly developed ARC R15 software by Dutch specialist firm Boutel, and there is also the proprietary ICOM CS R15 software. Which one works better? I think this will be a matter of personal preference. There's really very little between them other than price. Naturally, you can also receive the Aircraft Communications Addressing and Reporting System, ACARS, data transmissions in AM with the ICR-15. The European VHF ACARS frequencies are 131.725 main, 131.525 backup 1, and 136.9 MHz backup 2. In the U.S., go to this URL, tinyurl.com/y5fchfzt. ACARS VHF signals require quite a stable receiver to get these in properly, and the ICR-15 is such a radio. In terms of software, I use the AirNav ACARS decoder and many third-party programs in the past, e.g. ACARS-D, AirNav, Multi-PSK, Plane Plotter, Sorcerer, and WACARS. Some of these are now obsolete. I have settled on the Black Cat ACARS decoder, since this company established a good name for itself in maritime weather data and with other programs. RTTY, WeatherFax. If you are using the new SDR Play RSPDXR2 in tandem with SDR Uno, an ACARS plugin was developed to make reception quick and easy. You can also use an SDR Play SDR Uno plugin with Black Cat if you operate one of the SDR Play RSP SDRs. Try a fully functional version of Black Cat ACARS and connect the ICOM ICR15's headphone socket to your sound card via a high-quality cable. Last but not least, and while we are here, our friend and former radio user columnist Niels Schiffauer, DK8OK, has written a most instructive guide for setting up the SDR console program to serve multi-channel reception in cases such as ACARS. The ICOM ICR-15 will also receive other European VHF data transmissions within its frequency range, for instance, VHF Data Link, VDL, satellite band transmissions, 137 to 138 MHz, Automatic Identification System, AIS signals, AIS-1, 161.975 MHz, AIS-2, 162.025 MHz, and Digital Selective Calling, DSC transmissions, 156.525 MHz. You will, in all these cases, require external software for decoding and display. The ICOM ICR-15 has no inbuilt decoders. For Black Cat Systems, go to blackcatsystems.com/software/black_cat_acars_decoder.html. We'll continue this article next time. Thank you for joining us for Hobby Radio, read by Keith.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.